Until the last decade or so, I rarely found myself feeling super happy. My life seemed like it alternated between feeling stressed and anxious and feeling straight up depressed. Sure, there were occasional bouts of feeling almost happy, and there were a few high points that I could share. But in general, my resting state was pretty much always waiting for the other shoe to drop. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't focus. I was so dissociated that I struggled to even feel like a real person. But when I learned about toxic relationships with narcissists and how they had affected me on some really profound levels, I also learned how to choose my own perception, and eventually I managed to switch it up. These days, my resting state is usually, at the very least, calm, if not actually happy. And while my life wasn't so great back then, it turns out that I'm not unusual in this way. You see, living with constant anxiety, depression, and stress, it's a common problem for people who are or who have been involved in long-term relationships with narcissists, whether they're your spouse, your partner, parent, or anyone else in your life. And according to a study I'm going to share with you today, we've been right all along. Narcissistic behavior in toxic relationships literally causes anxiety and depression even after the relationship ends. I'll explain all of that and more to you, and I'll give you tips on how you can manage and resolve it in your own life today at queenbeing.com. So let's get started. You might already know that the feeling of being anxious is something we've inherited from our ancestors. But did you know that anxiety developed early in our evolution in order to help prehistoric humans survive in their unstable and dangerous environments? It's true. Defined as an overall feeling or sense of nervousness, worry, and general unease, humans today are still plagued with anxiety, even though it isn't really necessary for the most part in our current world because, in general, we're not fighting to stay alive every day the same way we were thousands of years ago. So then why is it that we still struggle with it to the point that there are a number of officially diagnosed anxiety disorders? How is it that going through a toxic relationship and dealing with common narcissistic behaviors causes these disorders at all? Not to mention clinical depression, various forms of PTSD, etc. Well, this is where that study that I mentioned comes in. If you were raised by a narcissist, you won't be surprised to learn that a study published by the National Library of Medicine reports that being raised by narcissistic parents can be a major factor in developing anxiety disorders and major depression. I'm going to include a link to the actual study in the description below if you'd like to take a look after this video. But just to summarize it for you, the study collects a number of academic psychology reports along with a bunch of scientific research papers that point to the issue. They all seem to indicate that any sort of psychological or emotional trauma in childhood is the cause of this stuff. It turns out that going through what the authors termed early life stress profoundly affects the central nervous system. In layman's terms, that means that your nervous system almost becomes disabled compared to that of someone who didn't experience such traumas. That's because these kinds of traumas and the level of stress that you experience during narcissistic abuse is going to lead to high amounts of inflammatory hormones being dumped into your system. And even when you're not actively being traumatized, and this is the worst part, your body starts to release these same hormones even when you have just a memory of these traumas. So essentially, we become overloaded with emotional stress, and that is PTSD. The study confirms what I've been saying for years. Going through narcissistic abuse, whether as a child or an adult, is now considered a major risk factor that can contribute to anxiety disorders, depression, and PTSD. And going through psychological abuse can be equally and even more profound on its effects on your mental health when compared to experiencing physical abuse and aggression. On the plus side, psychologists say that just going through this as a kid doesn't necessarily mean that you're absolutely going to develop anxiety in your lifetime. But still, traumatic events in childhood, especially while your brain was still developing, could definitely contribute to the supersensitivity seen in the neuroendocrine and stress response systems. That means that going through additional emotional and/or psychological traumas as you get older could trigger anxiety, depression, and other psychological disorders. Because of the increased stress and the fact that in time, most sufferers of narcissistic abuse do experience adrenal fatigue, this can be the most dangerous kind of abuse. When adrenal fatigue hits, you're going to be dealing with several possible outcomes, again, including an anxiety disorder, clinical depression, or both. Worse, Feeling anxious and depressed means you're more susceptible to narcissistic abuse and therefore far less likely to be able to extricate yourself from a toxic relationship. That explains why so many of us struggle to leave or even go no contact with a narcissist in our lives. Narcissists tend to target sensitive, empathic, and compassionate people. People who are wired to always see the best in other people and who by nature are helpers or fixers. People who make an effort to understand the narcissist and who often see their glaring flaws and choose to love them anyway. People who will put the narcissist's needs above their own at nearly any cost. This, of course, leads to the narcissist's initial recognition that you might be someone they want to keep around. So what do? They start creating the web of crazy that we end up stuck in during these toxic relationships. They start to make you emotionally, physically, or financially dependent on them, and they do it by whatever means necessary. But how do they accomplish it? Well, they start by devaluing you at first. Maybe little jabs or undercutting comments. Later, it starts to get more direct and aggressive, and before you know it, they are deep into gaslighting. That is where they intentionally and willfully psychologically game you by making you doubt your own reality and question your own perception. They start to make you feel crazy, and while some part of you knows that you're perfectly sane, deep down, the constant repetition eventually wears you down and you find yourself wondering if you really are crazy. This part is exactly where you start to experience adrenal fatigue, and that's when you start to feel foggy and you feel confused. You start to question your very sanity. You doubt your morals and your ethics, and honestly, you don't even know who you are anymore. You're living in a constant state of stress and a complete lack of self-confidence, which of course leaves you feeling lost, confused, and alone in both your relationship and your life. You start to avoid your friends and your extended family members, and you even feel uncomfortable in most social situations. You forget how to talk about yourself. You start to dissociate. You might even get physically sick. It's like you're not even there sometimes. This makes it impossible to free yourself sometimes, or at least feel that way. And many unfortunate people find themselves feeling completely stuck with literally no options when they're dealing with a narcissist. You might blame yourself for being in this situation. I hear that from clients all the time, but you shouldn't. Instead, you should recognize that while the narcissist dragged you down, and while maybe you can get some help from a coach, a therapist, or a support group, only you can ultimately pull yourself out of it. I'm going to attach a video for you right here to help you do exactly that, and then I'll be back to talk to you again right afterward. So let's talk about detachment and the art of detachment. What exactly does that mean? Detachment is an intentional choice that you make when you're trying to pull yourself away from a toxic person. You have to make the choice to decide logically, I'm no longer going to be a part of this relationship. That doesn't mean that right then at that moment you're going to feel completely detached. That's just where it all begins. You have to begin to consciously not allow yourself to get sucked back into the narcissist's games. It's really difficult. You have to decide that you're no longer going to fall for the narcissist's manipulation tactics. Not gaslighting, not projection, not belittling. You can't fall for any of it. You have to decide that you will no longer accept nonsense answers and made-up stories as truth. You have to decide that you will stand up for yourself or you will walk away when you're dealing with a narcissist who's engaging in these games. And even though you know that some of these things worked on you in the past, you have to decide it's not going to work anymore. So the first step to detachment is deciding to do it. In order to actually be detached where you really feel like you're no longer connected to that person, you have to sort of fake it till you make it. And I know that phrase is not really loved in our community, but it's kind of true. What I mean is you have to kind of go through the motions before you really get what you're doing. You feel me? So in order to sort of protect yourself emotionally, you focus on the logic of it all. You focus on the facts. You use your cognitive abilities to stay logical and for the time being, keep your emotion out of it. Now you will get to a point in recovery when you will want to connect your emotions to your logic, of course. But right now, we're just trying to keep you protected so that you can detach from that narcissist. Remember, we feel addicted to narcissists and toxic people who we've loved, very much like you would feel addicted to a drug. It affects the same part of your brain that drug addiction does. You're going to be emotionally crushed. You're going to feel a great deal of stress. And you're going to feel really confused by everything your partner or family member has done. Now, in many cases, you're going to want to start practicing this detachment even before you leave the narcissist. So if you haven't left yet, this is still something you can and should do. It sort of helps you, well, detach mentally and emotionally from this person so that you can start to imagine your life new. You can start to imagine your life different. The hardest part of this is that you're going to have to start ignoring the signals that your brain is naturally sending you. These are like emotional triggers that come from things that the narcissist is doing or not doing in your life. A lot of people tell me they want to check the narcissist's social media every 5 minutes, or they want to text them and check in with them, or they want to track them on their phones. If you're already separated, you might be thinking about wondering who that person's been dating, or you might just want to give them a call just to get some closure. You probably find yourself talking about the narcissist in different support groups or on forums online, and that's really a big part of why we stay stuck, because we feel like we can't really resist those urges. They feel almost primal to us. Those types of messages are coming from that part of ourself that is primal, that part that doesn't really understand the logic of it all. This is why we have to really step up our thinking game when we're trying to recover from narcissists. Our emotions won't allow us to overcome this type of abuse ourselves. We need to bring in the logic, because the logic is the part that looks at the facts and the things that are actually happening in the moment. But you're going to need a little bit of help with letting go of a narcissist. And the first thing is going to be the willingness to change your mind, the willingness to have the intention and try to stick to it. You have to be willing to let go. You have to be willing to tell yourself no when you want to look at their social media or make a phone call or send a text or stalk them in some other way. And the next thing you have to do is you have to educate yourself on what a narcissist is. So, of course, we know what a narcissist is, but in case you don't, take some time, watch some videos, read some articles, find out exactly what it is that you're dealing with, if you haven't already, and then use that information and that knowledge. Learn about the manipulation tactics, learn about the psychology of a narcissist, learn about the spectrum of narcissism, the whole cluster B spectrum. Take some time. Figure out the narcissist and how their brain works and how they work. And once you've done that, not only does it get a little easier to deal with the narcissist because they are exhibiting identifiable behaviors that are seen in all narcissists, this will help you disconnect emotionally a little bit by itself. Once you've educated yourself about narcissism, you're going to also want to educate yourself about yourself and the reasons that you found yourself in this position in the first place. Another good reason to educate yourself is that it's not really fair or safe to assume that every guy or girl is like the one you were just with. Narcissism and all of the cluster B disorders can be very extreme, and while the narcissist in your life probably made you feel crazy or not good enough or controlling or whatever, it's really important that you sort of overcome those false beliefs about yourself. You have to understand narcissists can't take responsibility, so they're going to do anything they can to avoid it. Of course, that includes blaming you or anyone else who's near them. By figuring out exactly how a narcissist works, you can logically move through things even if you are still in emotional pain. Does that make sense? So you use the information that you gather as a way to sort of turn in the way that you're thinking, a way to sort of change lanes, so to speak. You stop thinking of you and the narcissist as us, and you start seeing yourself as an individual. You start worrying about your own safety, your own well-being, your own freaking sanity, and you start looking toward your own future. It's sort of like you're going no contact with them just emotionally, on an emotional, internal level. And they'll notice it, I promise you, but if you stick it out, you'll be able to detach fully when it's time. When and if you're ready. By protecting yourself with your understanding of the logic of the psychology of all of these parts of the narcissistic personality, you're protecting yourself with your understanding of the situation. You can put your emotions to the side as you figure out the psychology of it. And in my experience, I found that knowing the psychology helped me to identify those behaviors, helped me to go, okay, that's gaslighting, okay, that's projection, whatever it was. When I could see it in that way and I could identify and label the behaviors, it took the sting out of them for me. I almost started to feel sorry for the narcissist when I could see how textbook the manipulations were, almost. A few quick tips for detachment. Remember that you don't want to ever expect the narcissist to change. And demanding that the narcissist will change is just an exercise in frustration. So don't waste your energy or your time. Understand, the narcissist could change, sure. But unless the narcissist chooses to change of his or her own volition,
it's not going to happen. And in my experience, and in the experience of many other people I've interviewed and worked with, they don't change because they never think anything is wrong. And I know that's painful, but it's true. The next thing you need to do is make sure you don't try to play the narcissist, play games with the narcissist. Certainly it could be satisfying to take the narcissist and twist them around a little and give them a taste of their own medicine, right? But doing that is just going to cause you a great deal of stress, and it is in many cases going to have the narcissist rising up against you. It's just not worth it. It's like talking to a brick wall. You can't expect it to hear you or change, but you can certainly bang your head against it and wind up with injuries of your own. Remember that there's nothing wrong with you. You shouldn't have any shame or doubt about yourself because you do need to walk away from this person. Not only do these types of relationships affect us mentally, but also physically, it's really important that you try to develop a really rational perspective of the situation and that you don't stay focused on those things that are out of your control. Like I said, even if you can't leave, you can still sort of distance yourself emotionally. But don't doubt who you're dealing with. Don't question yourself. Make sure that you take responsibility for your own happiness, your own peace, your own well-being, your own fulfillment. The narcissist cannot and will not do that for you. In fact, no one will. The narcissist wants you to stay depressed and sad and beaten down because that makes it easier to control you. But now you can take back that control, even if you can't leave yet. You can take back the control and make it your own again. You gave them control over your feelings, your thoughts, your behaviors, your happiness, your well-being, all of those things, certainly without realizing it. But on some level, you gave them that control. Maybe you were manipulated into it. Chances are that you were. But it's time that you start meeting your own needs, and you do that by making different choices, different behaviors, a new perspective, and by acting from that new perspective of empowerment. Know this, you cannot change, fix, save, rescue, or love anyone enough to force them to love you or to be nice to you. The narcissist is a limited person. They don't have the ability to see you for the amazing person that you are. And unfortunately, those narcissistic glasses they're wearing won't let them see you that way. It's really their loss, even though it doesn't feel like that just yet. You have to remember that no matter what happens, the narcissist will never think you're good enough long term. Certainly, the love bombing will come here and there. Certainly, you might get put up on a pedestal now and then. But no matter how much you do for them, it's never going to be enough, and they're always going to ask for more. You can compromise forever. You can give up everything you want and never take care of any of your needs. You can bend over backward for them. It won't matter. The more you do those things, the more ungrateful, the more entitled, the more demanding, the more pushy they will become. Essentially, you're going to waste your energy on a person like this if you keep doing it. So think about stopping. Think about taking back your power and not letting them have it anymore. Make sure you don't have high expectations when it comes to the narcissist. I want to tell you to raise your expectations, but recognize that the narcissist will never rise to the occasion. So keep your expectations low when it comes to dealing with one. Understand that they are limited people. They don't have the ability to empathize with you or even really care about you, especially when they're angry at you. They lack object constancy, which means that they can't love you and be angry at you in the same moment. So in those moments when they are angry at you, they really dislike you or sometimes even hate you as a result of whatever they're feeling. No matter how much guilt or crocodile tears or extreme hypersensitivity they seem to throw your way, don't fall for it. Just remember, this is a pathological person who is going to continue to hurt you if you allow them to. It's time for you to take back your mind, your emotions, yourself. When you can, spend as much time away from the narcissist as possible if you haven't already left, and find a support group that will help you. Maybe this involves friends or family members or even a local support group that you find through meetup.com, or maybe you get involved with a support group online, such as the Spanily, which you can learn more about that at queenbeing.com/span. It's free and very supportive. Our coaches and our admin team are also survivors, and they do everything they can to keep the group safe for you every day. We have admins from around the world to make sure that we're covered most of every single day and night. Ultimately, what you're trying to do when you're detaching from a narcissist is to try to stop letting them hurt you, stop letting them affect you, and to end the relationship, whether in reality or in your mind. Know that when you stop reacting, they will start pushing harder many times. That's the narcissistic whirl response we talk about. Like I mentioned in a recent video, when you see them beginning to kind of rile up and act pushier and more entitled and more ungrateful, scream, yell, whatever, that kind of shows that what you're doing is working, because it's them reacting to not getting what they want. It's them reacting to a lack of narcissistic supply, which ultimately is what you must deprive them of if you're ever going to get free. By using the art of detachment in your favor, you can actually take back your power one moment at a time. Every time you don't react, you get a little more powerful. It feels pretty good. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time for you to learn how to do this and make it exactly what it needs to be. Detachment is essentially indifference. That's really difficult for people like us, for empaths. It sort of runs against those beliefs that we've always fundamentally carried within ourselves about love and relationships. But remember, you're in a relationship with someone who is emotionally, verbally, or otherwise abusing you. Someone who attacks you, devalues you, discards you over and over again. Someone who makes you feel like you don't matter. Someone who stands on your head in order to raise up their own insecurities. Someone who's willing to beat you down emotionally and take from you everything that you have, literally or otherwise. Some people would say that a narcissist has no soul. Psychologists will tell you that a narcissist has no empathy. Either way, the perspective from which a narcissist operates is damaging for anyone who gets close to them. It's time for you to stop letting a narcissist destroy you, to detach yourself mentally and emotionally, and to start to move on so that you can heal, take back your life, and take back your power, and become the person you truly want to be. You deserve that, my friend. You know that, right? Please don't forget.
This brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, are you as unshocked by this study as I am? Have you ever experienced this kind of relationship? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life. And hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm going to leave for you right here and right there. And while you're at it, hit the subscribe button right here so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.